Ephesians chapter 12. Discipline from God. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Nick has shared from chapter 11 on this amazing testimony of modern day faith. And their names are Jesus and Ian Summers. And what they've gone through. And with the brain team. If you were here, you could go online and look at YouTube and you could hear the sermon 2 weeks ago. But the emphasis was faith. Faith in chapter 11 is the main concept of the book of Hebrews. Now, I got the privilege to begin teaching for a couple of Hebrews in Australia. Well, it's been over a year. Well, I'm not sure when it started, January, but I was over there on Thursday night. So, the work of Hebrews. I've always enjoyed the book, I've never taught through it. But we gather together and heal God has for us in the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews is an interesting book because not only it's amazing, we don't know who the author is, but I can see Paul writing it, but there's all kinds of, it doesn't matter. There's written by whomever it was. That's not the point who writes the book. It's about what's against the spirit of the book. It's about the message, not the message. And so as we begin to see Hebrews, what it does is it ties together the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because what you don't understand in the culture that we live today, and it's hard to understand, is most of us have never come from, or some of us may have, from a religious setting expecting a Levitical system that these people that were written to were grounded. And so they had Pastor Rich shared last week on the whole, the sacrifices, the whole temple system worship and bringing the lamb and sacrificing the Passover. It was all a picture of things to come, a foreshadowing. And so you see all right away in Hebrews chapter 1 that he begins to talk about angels. There was a misunderstanding about the role that angels play in creation. And so the writer here is explaining that Jesus is so much more different and far more above it, yet there was a time he had to come and take all these questions by it. There was also confusion about Moses and putting him on a pedestal, and he was the law, yes, he was. So Moses has been looked at on Wednesday nights, and if you don't come on Wednesday nights, you're missing out, because if you want an opportunity to kind of have a better understanding of what's being laid out in Hebrews, one of the most difficult Christmas this past year, but this whole misunderstanding was too abundant, but the circumcision of Moses' life being threatened by God, and missed out. But the Old Testament, the Levitical system, which writer wants is to clarify and explain in a real practical way that Jesus is so much better than the whole Levitical system. He explains also that, you know what, through Levi, these were many people, fleshly people, they could never do anything eternal. But here comes this man, Melchizedek, and has to explain from the Old Testament that was worshipped. And now here, Jesus is through the light of Melchizedek, because he is eternal. Melchizedek, there's no beginning, there's no end, there's no record of his past. Jesus is eternal. Once again, Jesus Christ is eternal. You see, Moses didn't want to take the people so far. And I think we're going to take them into the promise. The Levitical system has been put to the side for what we call now the New Testament. Because when the veil was torn from top to bottom, each one of us was in chapter 10, and came boldly to the throne. Because of what Christ has done. And he's made a clear way to come into his presence through what he has done at God, fulfilling everything we can do in the Old Testament. And so Hebrews has been working through that, and this was the other chapter 10, because he talks about this just to live by faith. And he begins to outline all these amazing stories that he read when we were little children about these men of faith and women of faith. And he talks about their journeys and what you got to love about the scripture. It's a thing of real people. And more he studied Moses and went to the find out that he did not have it in his opinion. He said, me. And he was a second. He was a second. Thank God. experience their character. His life was short and summary, but his meaning was of sin. And he was lost and used him for the mighty way to see his creature and to take him to his home, but not fully cross that place, and he understood that the promised light ahead in the midst of all these suffering. And so this meeting with Joshua chapter 11 and Pastor Ray showed up in this arena. Modern day examples of what God is allowing them to go through. Is that discipline? We're going to see in the next few verses. Is discipline only because we are bad? Or is discipline a part of what God allows us to go through in our training because what He wants us to become? You know, many times we've got to be thinking about this, but we always get the mindset that it's because bad choice, you need this, you need this word. That is a part of discipline. That is a process of disciple. You discipline is also painful and suffering, but it also fits the part of trust. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Very familiar text. I have to tell you, I'm breaking my religion off the Jesus here this morning. Throughout my life, I have only owned New King James Bible. I've had a Thompson chain, I've had a McCarthy Study Bible, and more as I meet with people, and more because I am a simple guy. And I'm very simple minded. But I like to be able to practical and to understand. These very people read, I've read before, it's a New Living Translation. And there's many things that I like about it because it's simple and it reaches everyday folks like me. And so I am breaking my religiosity here this morning for the folks from you. And I am going to be using the New Living Translation. And I didn't ask the guys to take it do that for me. And so I apologize, and I know in the past I've always put people NIV positive. Given all that time, but it's an all translation form. So, anyone ever tries to simply translate, you can only go so far as we're finding in Genesis. But just simply translate, like the word of God, and so many different things. It's a very different and unique, and people get very distinct with it. And so, there's simply translations, so don't get hung up on that. If you like me, you want to just simply understand the word you use in person, because I like the word discipline rather than chastise. I like the same word chastise. So, we need to recognize. Discipline, we all grasp it, by the way. So, chapter 12, verse 1 says this, it's up there for you. Therefore, connecting us back to what? These amazing testimonies that people have walked the life of Christ, we can relate to. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily sticks with us. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So you need to understand to me, therefore, there are examples not only living today, but people that have lived in the Old Testament that have walked through this journey, what we call, of life. And more I walk with the Lord, the more and more I get emails and things that you see, things and ministries and things going on, you say, Lord, why are you using a human, fleshy people? And you can do such a much better job using some other way to make your life. But it's true, it's a simple, weak way to be a blessing to others. I can't explain it to you, but I know it's true. We are surrounded by those that have walked the journey. It's about the journey. If you're here this morning and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, He has begun and led you on this journey. So one day, we will be like in eternity, right? Covered by a flood. And we begin this process of sanctification being set apart, which is here in verse 1. Stripping away things that are non-essential, things that are consuming us, things that naturally we are selfish. That's why we do self-things. We like to see ourselves. We like to hear it. Girls and guys. We people stop obeying and they sin, and what does it say? Injury. It's not like, oh, well, something never helps us. We know, I know, what trips me up. When it seems sin that easily, it says, I would go as far as to say that for men, it's really that the top category is sexual experience and temptation. For men, women may feel different. But there are easily snares, things that trip us that we know that we can identify. The question is, how do we address those? And for each one of us, it may be different in this point. But if you hear that, I've got things figured out pretty good, Chad. Oh, well, let me say something. Because watch out for something sensitive, and if you, know, the things that you think you got strong, watch out, because that's what you're going to be doing. So we get comfortable. We think we got strong. Let's learn from those in previous scriptures that have not even tasted the promises. And yet they chose to go through these hardships. They were simple men who said, look what it says. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, the champion who initiates and perfects us. I love it. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Here's what I shared. He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Right? The same mindset. If he is the creator, which I believe, and he's created you in his image, and each one of us, he knows that more repairs are in it, then he does have a perfect plan for your life. But this plan may not look exactly the way you think it should look. But he knows his best, even in the midst where there's times where I doubt the Lord's time to see all this. He continues to be God. He continues to be the designer. And he's righteous. It's an amazing thing. To really think about and to choose is powerful. There are choices that we can make. As we're writing this phrase, runners, and big runners, and the happy guy that likes to run, and local youth, when you meet on Saturday mornings and the old building, and you pull it off sweaty and smell it on a Saturday morning. My dude, it's Saturday morning. Do you want a donut? No, I don't want a donut. What's he doing? He just came from running the track however long. Yes? Not me. I woke up a little bit more while I was asleep out of my eyes. So every time the Lord came and showed up with you guys. To get that, I spent time cleaning the people in his body in his shoes. And for those that you that know runners and races, the people that run, you don't just get out there and say, you're not going to make it 100 yards. I need a couple of years of training to get in shape. Running a race, we have to make wise choices. There may be friends that we need to choose as we're running this race. Friends that are running the race with us. Wouldn't it be wise to take friends running the race that are on the same page, that are looking to Jesus? Wouldn't that be wise to run alongside him rather than someone that's maybe not the priority, is not Jesus and his glorification, but themselves or the world? It might take some change in our lives, changing who we run with. There may be certain activities that we need to drop and step to the side because they're not helping me in this race that I'm running. Certain activities. Who are we surrounded by as followers of Jesus? Now, the Bible does not say that they're looking down at us and watching us with glory and everything. To watch my life and looking at all of it. And for the people who want to watch your life, it would be sad and it would be a bummer. But you know, I don't want them watching my life 24/7. So if you're good on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, maybe it's going to be a dump. But for the rest of my life, you need to talk to the lady in the back. My wife. The people say the same thing. Those who are closest to us, they know us the best. They're our best critics. They're our closest accountability partners. To help us come to truth. And so, we need to drop our activities that we run in this race. And there may be different ways of holding us back. There may be addictions. that it is us buying his choices. This is both made clear. Everything that I'm sharing this morning, I wish I could share to you a couple days ago about a guy that I was expecting to hear him take on the person of the message, which is convicting my heart at the right time. And it was interesting because those verses was actually the day he was here. I couldn't believe it. So the Lord really rocked my world. And there are times where God needs to do that in your life and my life. There are times that there's no such thing as coincidence, and so God clearly lays out what's going on in life, and we need to be focused to Him because we're walking in the truth. There are ways and things that are scaring you and slowing you down, and we need to be dealt. And so these verses are a teaching, a devotion to me, and I pray that we'll be blessed. On the heels of simply last week not knowing what to share and saying, I want to build upon the discipline of God because it's always the best that comes to me, and how God deals with me and how I deal with myself and your children. So let me read through this verse too. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of what? The joy awaited him. He endured the cross, disregarding his sin. Now he is seated in the place of honor inside God's throne. That is the ultimate effect. Jesus, the perfected office, he can relate to you. He had people betrayed. He's never given it to my head. But he can relate to so many ways and perspectives to be overcome. Well, we are both in Christ, and there is triumph in things. It's not just this fun thing that we go through and walk over. In fact, I'll tell everyone, when we get together at a fresh start and share things and struggle or whatever, it's a real opportunity to be real and genuine amongst each one another because it doesn't happen very much. But that's what we need if we want to grow, because if we don't, we keep everything as tinkered and tinted, and all of a sudden it explodes, and it's revealed, and it's instead of knowing our problems, feeling like working together as a family and doing it, we can do so much better than we can expect to have as a church, and it's going to lead to some results. Yes. Because of the joy awaiting, he endured the cross, disregarding his sin, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God. He endured all this pain because of the suffering of Jesus. Jesus is faithful. He went through these sufferings because he was obedient to the Father. Now, if he is our example, how do we think that in our journey with Jesus, that we would not go through difficult things? Some of what we deserve. Hey, we get to make a fair share of the consequences. But some of it, physical illness or whatever, we don't necessarily think that God allows us to make a part of this journey, because now he's allowing us to happen and to bring himself in a beautiful, clear way to those that are telling him the other memories in your life. So that they could say, how can you see that I'm talking about in my books to do how when you go through this situation with the value. Is discipline always the best? for those of you baseball fans, you have heard of Fred Lynn. I think it's different much because I was younger, but I remember as a kid, I never did tell my dad, but I remember the kid somehow my dad was standing here and he was his father. I don't know who his dad or whatever. Well, I remember as a kid when I, of course, wanted to do the American dream and be the baseball player and all these things that everyone on both projects does all day if they're my kids. I'm not expecting them to go pro, but it's fun and it's good for them. It's a thing for them to be a part of. So I remember as a kid, Fred Lynn was called my dad because he's very good. And said when he grew up, he was not an amazing child. And he was good in the sense he was disciplined and willing to sacrifice. But his dad did not allow him to get a job. He did not allow him to get a car. He did not have a girlfriend. If he was serious, which Fred Lynn was, because it was an amazing thing at the 83, we also needed a transfer to 10 RBIs in one game. He had an incredible career with 283 batting average, over 300 home runs, 17 years. But wasn't the form what got to that point? Was his dad saying, son, you want to be serious? This is the road you're going to have to walk. You won't have a job, you won't have this, you won't have these things. You're going to eat, breathe, and sleep. Because I know he was a great gift, he's a worldly mindset. And so those of you that know the history of those teams, it's incredible for them, and that's why I've seen them dream, and it's just like this. But he was incredible for most of his age. Was he a bad kid? Is that out of discipline? No, it was discipline slash training to get him to the point where he's being one of the top baseball players and having an amazing career. And that's why many kids in America, including myself, including my cousin, have a better chance of hiding in college. You're going to be sacrificed. If you're not willing to be sacrificed, to just include through that kind of training, it's going to be very difficult. You have a natural talent, I suppose, that's to just get out there and play your meat practice. Very difficult. You see, discipline is a part of our lives. As believers in Christ, they were called as well disciples. Discipline, there's a mindset here. When you hear the word disciple, you just get into it. When you're in a training that God is working on you, yes, some of it because you're crazy, but the foolish things that you dabble in and assume. But the reality is, too, there are times where the discipline moves you into a training and allows you to go through things because it's a part of his plan, just like Jesus Christ. He's done nothing wrong, but a part of his plan is that he was suffering and being persecuted to the cross. Verse 3. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and bitter. So Jesus has very simple. The idea is here, these people that are rich, you don't know what town they're in, it doesn't matter, but there were people that were starting to feel some persecution, they were starting to feel some heat. It has not, at this point, cost them their life. Otherwise, they would have rested for it. But the heat is being applied. In our country, the heat is being applied. There are times now that you don't want to maybe pray in a restaurant, you don't have to do some things to do. There are times when you go to school and you want to talk about Jesus because you're afraid. Right? The heat's being applied. No longer is getting to the point where there's no cost to being a Christian. They're slowly creeping a little bit. It's not anywhere close to the rest of the world. But there's a little more heat being applied to the Christian community. Those that want to be followers of Christ, or there are those that want to hang into the world and adapt some of their worldly things. You've got to make a choice. Stand on God's word. Or be with you. And so these people have not gotten to the point where their life was taken yet, but it's the heat being applied. Think of all the hostility we endured talking about Jesus. Then you won't become weary and give up after all. You have not yet been given your life in the struggle against medical sin and things that are compounding you. Think of all kinds of different things. The sin of the world will fight into your own personal sin. And here's the thing in verse 5. You should have known this. If you're here this morning, you should know this. Verse 5. And have you, what does it say? Forgotten. When did they get to the point? You may be here this morning and get to the point that you've forgotten, what does it say? The encouraging words God spoke to you at his children. He said, don't give up when he does what? Corrects you. For the Lord disciplines all he loves, and punishes each one who accepts his will. So that's the gospel. Raising children, as I've been doing for the last almost 10 years in March, has been a whole new ballgame. You see, I received discipline from my father for 18 years, roughly. And it was not pleasant. I used to get some belt for discipline. But whatever, different from a throw, whatever it is. Until it was around the age of 9 or 10. And then after that, my dad said, I was going to say, son, I think you're too old for the belt now. I'm pissed at him, I think. He began to say, now I'm going to be grounded. Now I will be off for, you know, you want know, all the fun things for a week. And then he added to it, which I was surprised, and maybe that's why I'm not the best leader. He says, I'm going to have you read a book. And I kick out into the room, of course. So, of course, maybe hold up his words, give up his life, and I'd have to read a new report. And I'm going to go. That was so much better. Last few minutes, I cried. You know, the three-year-old Ed Marks, but the reality is, you know, we'll have to read, I don't have to read, something like it's boring. And that's how I was disciplined to the home of my mother. And now I look back. But now it's my time. I can help you think about this is about Jesus. What did you think worked as a father? What way were you not going to drop into the fall? And that's what the rest of the message is going to be. And the balance between the life of their life and the correct way to discipline. I'm sure everyone here has gone through. So I tried to check it out. How are you doing this for? Okay. Oh, good. Everybody. The question that you start asking, which I encourage you to start asking, how would your trip to the church this morning? How would your trip to church an hour ago, and you're getting kids ready, and you're carrying them out for helping? That's the question you need to be asking. So that you're, oh, it's going great over there. No, how was the trip to the church? How was it yesterday? Everyone can relate. Sunday morning, it's an impressive reason to choose kids to church. Get out of bed. Any other week, you know, we're going to change. So the reality is, when we get up Sunday morning, that's the question we need to be asking. And so he said to you for a doctor. He's encouragement to you as his children. Notice, apparently, these people he's writing to are believers. There are difficult voices in chapter 6 that allow us to tell the story of what we did on Thursday night. And, you know, the author is a difficult message. But as he's writing here, he's encouraging them, saying, brothers and sisters, if you are a child of God, he will discipline you. If you get well, that's good. Good. And discipline isn't only for God to hear, but can it be applied for training to making you more in his image and allowing you to go in through this journey of different things, the hardships and how you respond. The hardships is not the thing that we focus on. God knows how you respond. Right? How are we responding when these heavy things happen in our life? Does it lead us to the Lord even more, or does it lead us to our vices? Does it lead us to opinions from other people that are running the risk? I don't know, that's a question you can ask. When the need is applied, whether it's something you deserve or not, about just simply allowing, where do you seek out help? Don't come to me. Don't go to pastor. Go to the Lord. Send them. If you want to go before us, or if you want someone to share with, or talk to you about it, then it's kind of music that we have to do together. So there's nothing I can say that's any better than the gospel. Just like I did this morning. I need a pastor here. This writer is going to take a long time to do this this morning. But we need it. Because as humans, we talk and we forget. And so we need to be reminded. And so, all throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament, all these demons are lying in the same principles. Everything can come down to
Well, the Lord is out, whether it's me here yourself, really, think about it. How do you even come down to that? What are the three they're dealing with? It's because they're self-consumed. I want you to be self-consumed. Oh, that's easy to say. I don't have to figure it out. But God will put that desire in your heart. He will be the one who is going to pull into your revealing these things. He is the one that will discipline you if you don't want to head. Here to this encouragement, we want to disregard it. If you are a child of God, he's going to get your attention. He's going to get your attention if you genuinely have this relationship. And so it says, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one of the acceptance. Now, verse 7, as you, look what it says, endure this divine discipline. Remember that God is treating you as his own children. I disciplined 18 years ago because it will be unloving for me as a father to let them play in the street. Without telling them what's for fun. It would be unloving for us as a parent to say, you need to read 20 minutes a day like your teacher says. If I'm not even here for you, didn't do it. But because I love them, and one day they're going to have to read God's word and read whatever, it would be unloving for me as a parent that if they're fighting and they've done something really extreme and I've warned them to not get off the belt or use a rod, and give them a little reminder, which is encouragement is actually with, to say, if you want to bring the truth. That's done because I love this. And I tried it in my best to explain to JC Disney. And so did me. I'm doing it for you. He is charged with it because I love you, because God loves you. He has to correct, discipline, and train us in his way. And yet, sometimes it is painful, just like the cross. It's painful. But the end goal is beautiful. And so, my son and my daughter, as hard as this is, and I don't want to thank you, I'm looking to you before his work. So, Lord, listen to your life this morning and encourage you at the finish line. And he wants to work on you along the way. The question is, how easy are you to be workable and moldable? If your life is under struggling, then it's hard for you to ask something of them to say, I'm sorry, if you learn to love and respect, nothing but the moment. And to ask for forgiveness. But to become more like an inner stone or that hard thing that we need to do is to be transparent. And that's what it's for. And the reason, and the true confidence of that. Let's see. If God doesn't discipline you, if he does all his children, hello. If you're not getting disciplined for you, you don't see discipline coming along, then you're talking about none of the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that you're here this morning, you're not a believer, you've never become born again and become received God's Spirit and now he dwells in you, then you're going through tough times. That doesn't mean you're his child, that's simply the consequences of your sin. There is a difference between being here this morning as a child of God and a child of God's wrath. It's very clear throughout Scripture. And if you are here this morning and you are a child of God, then nothing can pluck you from the hand and he is going to do things to discipline you, to mold you, to make you a new image. If you can disregard, you're not interested in the love of God and what he does to you in his cross, then you are separated from Jesus. But that doesn't mean that you're still not going to be consistent to your sin. The ultimate consequence is separation from the Lord. And one of the unforgivable sins in the scripture one is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. As you hear God moving in your heart, working in your life, and just tugging at your heart, you simply just regard it as sin. You're not going to be. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. God is drawing you. And you simply have to receive it and allow him to pour forth in your life and live. But he's looking at your face to say, I'm interested, but God's sin is your spirit. If God doesn't discipline you, as he does all his children, it means that you're illegitimate. The actual word there, that he says here, is the B word.
I tell my son, they are adults. There's no point in arguing. They're not
they are on the field or whatever, they don't like that, and what they say goes whether they like it or not. You have to do it. If I can stick with them, I'd be so happy with the credit. So, as being an example, how am I leading? Am I going to continue to argue with authority? Finding the balance, being led by the Spirit in practical ways that that is perceived. It doesn't happen though if we're not spending time with the Lord and allowing the Spirit to move in our hearts. If we're not allowing the discipline of the Lord to see it coming to place in my life, just like it happened in the second year. God wants to get our attention and He wants on a certain path. And whenever we hear it, it's a lot of path, He's going to find people, situations, circumstances to give our attention. And we're moving along. Some of it is because of our own doing. Or even worry, whether it's sexual temptation, whether it's some kind of device, addiction, or whatever it is. But this time the world walks in the journey of still, He wants to make us know that when He allows things to happen, He wants us to say, how are you going to respond just like before your journey? And He's considered my servant Job. Every one of us is more than a human considered my servant Job. Would you want that phrase from me? I want you to watch it. We're all on the journey. He can do everything but touch His heart. And He being the whole journey of Job, it was a beautiful story. But a man that walked the cycle with me, we've been doing so much, it's like we're learning about Moses. From his failure to Madison's feet, to let God continue to move His throne to them over the community. As we respect our earthly fathers and disciplines, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits who lives forever? Even more, didn't we follow our spirits? This is an eternal Father. Doesn't He know what's best for us and He's so much more in tune than our earthly fathers? I respect my Father, but He didn't have the whole life that God has in my life. Repent for our earthly fathers, disciplined us for how much, how long? A few years. I'm sure roughly in our country, in 18, this is the sad. I will tell you the more and more that I have been telling my son that I'm hearing the way that 18 is under out of the house. Which is what? An American mindset, isn't it? You're an adult, you need to move out, to be on your own. So Scripture teaches the complete opposite. The Belizean culture, the Philippine culture, and any countries around the world is complete opposite. We want your family to be a part. We want them to work together as a community and expand more into when you get old and to take care of them. There's no higher man or anybody. No higher man as far as their hotels in Mexico. We do that as a family. We take care of them so they're on their dying bed, just like Jacob was in Red Bank and Canaan Street. We do that because it's part of God's plan. But in our country, it's totally different. Now, there are benefits of those things. Sometimes there's something to take advantage of in the country that is not a good thing. But there is a balance. And there's a lot of cool things that can stand and learn from one another. It's like the biblical practice. Some of you guys are related to the focus of practice. Standing. That's our choice. Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years. 18 years, roughly. But you know what happens? Taking a long time to know what it happens. Those children are so much more respectful. And even at 25 or 26, I'm talking to them like, Eduardo, hey, you think we started? We're going to check with my mom and dad to see if I can help you, etc. They feel that love and honor for their parents. He wasn't ready to listen to how he is, but there's a special party when he gets ready. But the idea is there. Family. Your family here this morning. You guys meet each other in the morning, Savior. It doesn't seem like you're doing your life. It's a very tough week. It's been a nightmare. In fact, you think this building is going to collapse because you're sitting here. And you always say that you can't get the doctor. Some of us feel that way. But that's not the God that we serve. He's a God that loves us so much that He will discipline us. And you better be the parent here this morning because you love your children that He will discipline. And it doesn't mean speaking. There are practical ways to confront issues in your children's life no matter what age they are, motivated by love because they need that the way you need it from a loving Father. The last verse. Oh, sorry. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that wouldn't say my sharing is holy. going to share in His holiness?
Absolutely.
We've run down the body that something is going to
start
in you. I'm so much further. I can't remember the book from Easter, but in my mindset, you think I know so much more, everything's figured out, but the more and more I think that. I mean, we have this idea that everything's spirit and heaven or anything, but we've got responsibilities and duties, and the more you think that are things that God's assigned us to, that everything's going to be in the way that He designed it back in Genesis. And we're in this section of time where it's not the way that it's going to go back, and it's going to be a glorious thing. And God is going to give us back to the way He intended. So I can tell you, watching this, this is not what God intended. And yet it's fulfilled plans and purposes, and that is needed to us. And we can read all the way to the Old Testament, read Daniel, and how everything lines up. And here we are excited to be a part of it, but don't lose hope. Don't get caught up on all that. Get caught up in engaging in solving people's lives and teaching them about the moment of Christ. Not the day and year that that is going to happen. We can look and say it's being fulfilled, but all in this season. To the cross, and that will be in a practical, loving way that will lead them to the core being in the way that He meets you in the New Testament. Holiness, and then finally, verse 11. No discipline is enjoyable when it's happening. Oh man, you're running and you're trying to get to shape and you've got to go exercise every day. It's horrible. But how many can relate? After you do it, before you compensate, hey, I walked out of the park 3 months. I've done it, trust me. Super thing to do. Strong thing to do. People can win the war, you know? And actually, but they need to come try for it. And if you're not exercising, yeah, it's painful, but everyone's got to know what I work, what I do for a few days now. Whatever you do it unto the Lord. Does that include exercise? To get in shape or whatever? Absolutely. But for some reason, in human nature, because your outward appearance is becoming. So that's where is all the heart? How is it spiritual workout? Oh, well, that's when you need to get fuller. There's nothing wrong with getting healthy and being disciplined and look good on the outside. But don't miss the root of the spirit. The Lord, the thing for you, the Lord, the spirit, He's concerned about the heart condition. You might take your physical needs, but you're always in the spiritual world. That's not going to be completely resolved until you have a glorified and amazing body that He's intended. And you can't even have it. I spent so much time trying to figure soft letters in between the depression, the frustration, focusing on what I do in the day and the task at hand. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. I love this phrase. It's painful. You want to get to the point of spread layer, you want to get to a point where you're a great golfer, it's painful, it's sacrifice, and it takes a lot of time. Let's go. Baseball, running, it's painful. But you're always looking towards the end of it. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained. What is that word trained? Discipline. Those that are trained in this. I don't know where you're at, really. I want you to say, I just want to start handing out the ones who can do this. I don't know where you're at this point. What discipline is looking at your life from the Lord? There may be things going on in your life that you simply don't understand, or there may be things in your life as a result of your sin. In either case, if you recognize that the Lord is doing the work, it would be so much better if we understand it.